Hey, you miss me? This is Gary Zimak. Welcome to Following the Truth. All right, I got to tell you about tomorrow. By the way, today is Friday. It's January the 15th. So what happened with yesterday's program? I never like to skip a show. And first of all, everything's fine. If you subscribe to my daily email reflection, you realize that I sent it out yesterday. Everything's good. But I do get concerned sometimes. And I think like, oh, if I don't do the show, you're going to worry that something's wrong. Everything was okay yesterday. But what happened was, you know, things come up from time to time. And I don't like to cancel shows unless I absolutely have to. And what happened yesterday, I was doing a lot of writing during the day. And there were some issues, extended family related issues. Somebody needed some, I was going through something yesterday. And Eileen and I had to be talking about the best way to handle things. And had to go over to a family member's house and try to do some repairs, which I am not the least bit handy. Don't worry, it wasn't anything that, or don't think more highly of me than I deserve. It was not that difficult. It was something really simple, but it just took some time away. And by the time I got home, it was too late to really do the show without really impacting everything here, because I do the program at home, and it would really impact the family, and it would have been a mess. And I was really tired. And no matter how much the Holy Spirit helps me, if I do a show when I'm really tired, it's going to really show. So I thought it was best for you and for me to take the day off. But that's where I was. So I am back now. A lot has happened yesterday. Man, a lot of good things have been happening yesterday, especially with my books. I don't know if you get the Dynamic Catholic Daily Reflections, but they've been featuring quotes from my book, Stop Worrying and Start Living. And it was really cool. Whenever they do that, my book sales, especially on Amazon, go through the roof. And yesterday, Stop Worrying and Start Living, check this out. It was ranked at one time as the number two book in the Christian category. So it was the second best-selling Christian book on Amazon, which was insane. I mean, it's just really incredible. So I'm really grateful for that. Grateful for the fact that I have been given these opportunities to reach people through my written work, and it was just really, really cool stuff. Give Up Worry for Lent is doing well also. By the way, just a reminder before we pray, Lent begins, Ash Wednesday is February the 17th this year, and we're gonna shift this program into a daily Give Up Worry for Lent theme. So if you have not yet picked up a copy of Give Up Worry for Lent, you might want to get yourself a copy of the book. It's sold out for the past 2 years, amazingly, and there are copies in stock right now. So make sure if you're interested, get yourself a copy, and we will be doing it again. This is the type of thing that I believe that you don't just do once in life. Those of us who tend to be anxious, it's something we can really work on constantly, many different times. You know, it's not again, not something you would just do one time and expect it to be all better. We tend to fall back and backslide a little bit. So each year, we're going to do it again. And I hope you'll join me as we give up worry for Lent yet again in just about a month. Hard to believe that it's just about a month from now. We'll talk more about it as we get closer. Today, I want to talk about faith. And we're going to look at the gospel according to Mark. It was the gospel that was read at today's daily mass, when Jesus healed a paralytic. But some really cool developments take place in this story, and I think there's something we can learn from it. So we're going to look at that. I hope you'll be able to join me for the entire 30 minutes. I got my water here. I hope you have your beverage and your snack and you're ready to go. So without further ado, let's turn to our Father in heaven and pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, no matter what is going on in the world right now, no matter how crazy things look, no matter how dark and hopeless things appear, Father, we know that you are in charge, that you love us, that you watch over us, and that you are in control of the entire universe. We might not feel it, but that's okay, because we know it through faith, and we believe it in our heads. Father, as we turn to you in prayer, we first want to acknowledge the fact that you can do all things. We also want to acknowledge the fact that you love us so much, that you created us out of nothing, out of thin air, so to speak. And you put us, our bodies together, cell by cell. You gave us a heart and lungs and functioning organs so that we can be able to recognize you and to turn ourselves, to make that conscious decision to turn to you in praise and thanksgiving. And we do that now. We consciously praise you, Father, for your mighty works over the years and in our lives. We praise you for your power over the universe. We praise you and thank you for giving us life and for always being here for us. We lift up our intentions to you, Father. We ask you to grant our needs. And I ask you, Father, to pour out your Spirit on me today so that I can know the words to use on this show. And Father, I ask you to open all of our minds and all of our hearts to be receptive to your message and willing to put it into practice. Father God, I ask these things in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you for praying with me. Again, my name is Gary Zimak. If you're a first-time listener, welcome to this program. If you want to find out more about my work, please visit my website, followingthetruth.com. I want to let you know one thing also. I talked about Give Up Worry for Lent. Last year, I started doing something on Facebook, and this year, I'll be doing it on Facebook as well as my daily email reflection, where I take each day's material and Give Up Worry for Lent and share a few extra thoughts. It's almost like we're reading the book together. You know, and I like that idea that I want to be there with you. I want to explain what my mindset was when I wrote each of the reflections, because they were inspired by things that were happening in my life at the time. And I'd like to share some insight with you, give my, maybe beef up the reflections a little bit and tell you what I personally have experienced and what I am experiencing. You know, one of the points, I don't know if you got a chance to catch me on Relevant Radio this morning. I was on Morning Air with John Harper, and we were talking about what we had talked about on Wednesday on the program here, five positive things that you can count on in 2021. And I made the point that about one of the things, the positive things, is hope. And I said that, you know, if we're still alive, then there's hope for us. And that's true. I mean, there is hope. And this the final page of the story has not been written, of my life story. So that what appears to be the impossible or the hopeless situation, I don't know how that's going to turn out. It might turn out much better than I think, because the story's not over yet. You know, so I was making the point about hope. And one of the things I said to John Harper was, in response to the question, do you feel hopeful? My response is not always. I don't always feel hopeful, but I am hopeful. And I think that's something I love to be able to share that with you. The fact that I don't always feel the presence of God. I don't always feel Jesus when I receive him in Holy Communion. I don't always feel that I don't feel hopeful about my problems being solvable. I don't always feel it. And I think that's critical for me to share that with you, because I don't want to give you the wrong idea that once you turn your life over to Jesus, that all of a sudden you will be hopeful and feel him at all times. That's not the case for most people. And he does that purposely. He removes that feeling sometimes, because he wants us to trust him. He wants us to learn to turn to him, not just because it makes us feel good, but because we sincerely want to follow him and want to really turn our lives over to him and are willing to trust him even when we don't feel like it. And that's a lot of what faith is about. Doing things, following the Lord, even though you don't feel like it. It's what any relationship is about. There are times my wife and I don't feel like working on our marriage. There's times I don't feel like being nice to my kids. There's times they don't feel like being nice to me. But we try our best to do it out of love. And honestly, that's what love is really about. Love is that conscious decision to put the needs of somebody you love before your own, to do things for them that will help them, even if you might not feel it, right? So that's a critical thing to think about. So, and the reason I tell you that is if you don't feel hopeful right now, don't beat yourself up. Continue to walk with the Lord. One of the ways you can make yourself feel possibly a little more hopeful is to read in your Bible about what he's done in the past, and then realize that he can do that with you as well. He can help you going forward in the future. And that's one of the and maybe look back in your own life and recognize that he has been there for you. And that's one of the reasons I often pray when I do the prayers at the beginning of the show, acknowledging that the fact that since we are still alive, it proves that our Father has provided for our needs from the moment we were conceived right up until the present time. Therefore, why wouldn't he do it in the future? It's important to recognize that, but it doesn't mean you will always feel it. And that doesn't mean that you're wrong. Feelings aren't right or wrong, but what matters is how you respond to those feelings. That is critical. That is very important. Learning to pray when you don't feel like praying, that is very, very important and critical that you learn to do that. We need to learn to pray even when we don't feel like it. And that's so important for us to learn. So I like to share this with you from time to time so you understand that I don't always feel like doing the right thing, and I don't feel the presence of God all the time, and I don't always feel like my situation is solvable or possible, or I don't feel hopeful. Sometimes I do. Feelings come and go. What we need to learn to do as Christians, right, is follow Jesus no matter how it feels. And the Holy Spirit can help you do that. The Holy Spirit can help you do that. So continue to ask the Holy Spirit to help you. And then let's walk together and get through what is a very difficult time in history. The time we're going through is very challenging. In no way is this an easy time to be alive. But the Lord has us alive right now for a reason. And together we can get through this, okay? And I'm here for you. I want to continue to be here for you. Thank you for all your comments. I really appreciate it. Let's continue to move forward, okay? And if you ever have any questions, you can email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. I want to remind you also, before we look at today's material, if you want to get some insight into this upcoming Sunday's Mass readings, check out my other podcast, The Gary Zimek Show. That's available now from wherever you get this podcast. You can also get it there. Okay. Any questions, you can always email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. All right, let's talk about faith. Faith is an interesting thing. Sometimes we wish that we had stronger faith, because we see numerous times, not always, but numerous times when Jesus in the Gospels said, "Your faith has made you well." He recognized the great faith somebody had and would perform a healing because of it. What we need to always keep in mind is that faith is a gift. Faith is not something I can manufacture. I just can't make myself have more faith. We receive faith for the first time during the sacrament of baptism. So when we're baptized, we are given faith. That faith can grow, and it's expected to grow. And we can work on it. There's things we can do in order for our faith to increase, but you just can't force yourself to have more faith. Of course, one of the things you can do is pray for it. You can also step out in faith. So by acting in faith, by praying big, by praying for big intentions, if you need something big, pray for it. And faith will grow oftentimes when that intention is granted, or you see how God works in your life, and then that your faith can grow. I think they're about the two best ways that I could think of to increase your faith. And of course, faith, and of course, the sacraments are really important too. So I'm a big believer in getting to daily mass and receiving the Eucharist every day. I've been doing that for a long time. It's made a huge difference in my life. The grace I get from the Eucharist really helps me. And also all of the sacraments. So the ones that we receive on a regular basis are the Eucharist and confession. They're the ones that we generally receive on a regular basis. And the other ones, you only need to receive them typically once. Well, not all of them, but baptism, you're only baptized once. Confirmation, you're only confirmed one time. The Eucharist and confession, they're multiple times. Holy Orders is a one-time deal. Matrimony, it's possible you will receive the sacrament of matrimony more than one time. For instance, if your spouse dies and you get remarried. The sacrament of the sick you can receive multiple times. But basically, throughout the course of our lives, we're receiving the Eucharist and confession the most out of all the sacraments. The other ones, we're drawing on the grace. Like when I am dealing with my wife and my children, I'm given special graces to deal with the problems that arise in family life. That grace flows out of the sacrament of matrimony. And it's a mysterious concept to understand how these sacraments work, but they give grace, and that's what we know. They're instituted by Christ. They give grace, and they help us to lead the Christian life. That's why the Lord gave us the sacraments. But let's get back to faith for a minute. I want to read this passage from the Gospel of Mark, and we'll talk about it because we see something. It's kind of like got a nice little twist when it comes to faith. Let's read this. This is Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. When Jesus returned to Capernaum, after some days, it became known that he was at home. So the word is spreading that Jesus is there in Capernaum, and people are becoming aware of the fact that he is there. So many gathered together so that there was no longer room for them, not even around the door. And he preached the word to him. So just for a minute, try to picture that scene. It's so crowded. People are crowding around Jesus, these great crowds, because he's impressive and the word is spreading. And people want to hear him preach and see the healings that are taking place. Now, they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. So four men are carrying this paralytic to Jesus. Unable to get near Jesus because of the crowd, they opened up the roof above him. After they had broken through, they let down the mat on which the paralytic was lying. Just to give you some insight, when I used to hear this story, I thought, wow, this is really nasty. These men are breaking somebody's roof to lower the paralytic down on the mat. But that's not the way it was. Back in our Lord's day, the roofs could be the roofs could be separated and opened. So there were pieces of material that could be moved. So they weren't destroying the roof. They were just moving some of the, if you want to use the word tiles, I guess you could say, around so that they could lower him. But just think about that. These four friends were so determined to get this paralytic to Jesus, this man who was paralyzed. They were so determined to get him to Jesus that they were going to do whatever they had to. They couldn't get through the crowd. They couldn't get through the crowd. So they're going to find another way to get this man to Jesus. Because why? Because they knew that it would be possible for Jesus to heal him. They're some good friends, right? They're some really, really good friends to be willing to do that. And they were determined to make that happen. Now, what happened next? When Jesus saw their faith, he said to them, to him, I'm sorry, child, your sins are forgiven. Now this story is going to take it kind of a twist here, but I want you to catch what just transpired here, what Mark just recorded in this account. There's no mention about the faith of the paralytic. I have no idea whether he believed, whether he didn't believe. He was just lying on the mat. And Jesus mentions nothing about his faith. But instead, he calls out the faith of the four men that carried him and dropped him, let him down from the roof. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to him, child, your sins are forgiven. So when these men lowered the paralytic to Jesus, there was no request made, please heal him of his paralysis or whatever. They just lowered him down. Jesus made the determination that his sins needed to be forgiven. And he did so, apparently, at least from what we're looking at here, after he witnessed the great faith of the friends. Now, there's a little more to the story, but I'm just going to tell you right now and really throw it out there and ask you the question. Who in your life needs a healing? Any kind of a healing, a physical healing, a spiritual healing, an emotional healing. And are you willing to bring them to Jesus? And you don't even have to leave your house to do it. Are you willing to pray for them? Are you willing to do some fasting for them? And are you willing to keep at it repeatedly and be as persistent as these friends were? You know, a lot of times we look at relatives and friends who might not know the Lord, who are definitely in need of some kind of healing, spiritual, physical, emotional. And we think, if only they knew Jesus, if only they knew that prayer could help them. Never do that? I know I do that sometimes. But yet here's an example. The person that needs the healing, their faith might not matter, provided you're the one who brings them to Jesus. And here's a case where he's not looking at their faith, he's looking at your faith. So that person in your life that needs that healing might be healed because you had the faith to bring them to Jesus. And I would encourage you to think of at least one person today. Maybe it's good to focus on just one person so it doesn't get too complicated. And make that pledge today. I'm going to start praying for the conversion of this person or for the healing, you know, whatever kind of healing they need. And say to yourself, I'm going to do this because I believe. Even if I don't feel it, again, it could be one of those head knowledge things. In my head, I believe Jesus can do this, so I'm going to keep praying for this person. Is the healing of that friend or acquaintance or family member of yours important enough to do to you that you're willing to do that? When you look at this gospel story, it really singles out the power of faith in the healing process. And again, we know nothing about the healing, the faith of the man who was paralyzed. But we know that his friends had strong faith. And this gospel goes on. Again, I said it took a twist. Some of the scribes sitting there after Jesus said to him, your sins are forgiven, saying to themselves, why does this man speak this way? He is blaspheming. Who but God alone can forgive sins? So they take issue with the fact that Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. And it's funny, they didn't even say anything. But he knew immediately in his mind what they were thinking to themselves. And so he said, why are you thinking such things in your heart? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise, pick up your mat and walk? So what Jesus is saying, like, you're thinking I can't forgive sins, and you would be impressed if I healed his paralysis, but the spiritual healing was actually more important. I already did that. But then Jesus said, but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins on earth, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, rise, pick up your mat, and go home. The man rose, picked up his mat at once, and went away in the sight of everyone. They were all astounded and glorified God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. So what Jesus did was really say, look, I know you guys don't believe that I have the authority to heal sins, but let me just show you what kind of authority I have. And he physically healed the man to prove, you know, Jesus just didn't perform miracles to impress people. He did it so we could establish the fact that he was the Son of God. That's what he's doing here. He was showing them the spiritual healing is more important, but I'm going to give you the physical manifestation of a healing so you'll believe me. And it turns out people did believe. You know, you had some people who didn't, but a lot of people came to believe in Jesus because of his miracles. But we're just about out of time now, but the main focus I really wanted to leave you with today was who in your life needs a healing, and are you willing to lower them through the roof and bring them to Jesus in prayer? I'm going to think of somebody today and do it, and I really invite you to do the same. All right, if you have questions over the weekend, please email me at Gary@followingthetruth.com. Don't forget the Gary Zimek Show podcast you can listen to find out more about Daily Mass. Sunday Mass, please visit my website, followingthetruth.com, for more information about my work or to make a donation to my ministry. And the current game plan is I intend to be back with you here on Monday for another episode of the show. Hope you have a great weekend. I hope you'll be able to join me on Monday as well. God bless you. Thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you next time.